Today's program was brought to you by Copper and Kings, pure copper pot-distilled American brandy, aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels. For more information, visit copperandkings.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
The Speakeasy is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food and drinks. Help keep HRN alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate, and do it before I finish this drink, and I'll buy you a new one.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
And I'm Souther Teague.
And we survived the week of Tales of the Cocktail.
Tales of the Cocktail.
Oh, my God. How many has this been for you, Souther?
I'm going to say this was at number 8 in 9 years. I missed one.
Wow. I think this is number 7 for me. Got me beat.
I used to live there.
I wouldn't say you win.
Right. Well, I used to live in New Orleans, so it's always great for me to go back and see old friends and do stuff like that.
Just eat all the fried seafood in the world.
Coop's place. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Coop's.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So all three of us in the studio today totally survived. I'm glad that we did so we can have the show today. Today in the studio is one of our buddies, and we got to work together at Extra Fancy for a while.
That was
a lot of fun. And since then, you and your brother Michael have opened up the Holiday Cocktail Lounge and revived that place on St. Mark's. Welcome to the show, Danny and Neff.
Hi, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Welcome, dude.
You survived. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling all right, man. I'm a little exhausted. We had a 22-hour trip home, so that was...
Because you were on that bus.
Yeah. We did the tour bus with Brooklyn Gin and the Ginvasion tour, but then afterwards we took our flight back and we got stuck in Norfolk for about 3 hours, and there was 18 of us that were stuck.
Because of crazy weather?
Because of the crazy weather, yeah. I mean, everything in New York was shut down, so... Yep. Pushed back another, I want to say about 5 hours we were there. We ended up taking a bus back from Norfolk to New York.
To New York.
So I got home. I opened my door at like 11 o'clock.
You went to New Orleans on a bus, you ended up coming back on
bus. Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing, man. There was also like a lot of delays and like cancellations too. Like I heard like this buzz going around the airports that they just didn't have enough crew members. Apparently like a bunch of different airlines like laid off a bunch of their flight crews.
Yeah, American. I think it was American Airlines that also had trouble with their, I don't know, something with their system that was just blowing everything up. I know a friend of mine, Drew Record, was stuck in. He was stuck in San Francisco for a long time before he could actually make it out to Tales originally.
Wow.
Ouch.
Dude, yeah, it was pretty brutal, man. There and back, but you know what? We survived.
We all made it. We made the best of it.
Exactly.
I'm sure the bus ride back was a party on wheels, right?
I mean, it was a sleeping party on wheels. Yeah, yeah, that's
a slumber party.
Thing, you know?
Hey, still a party.
Still a party.
Yep. So, man, so how long has the modern iteration of Holiday Cocktail Lounge been around? So
The modern iteration opened March 9th of 2014. My brother and I. Got onto the job in November, saw the building with Barbara Sibley and Rob Ehrlich, owner and creative director, Rob being the owner, Barbara being the creative director. She's also the owner of Lapa Lapa next door.
Great Mexican.
Yeah, amazing, amazing authentic Mexican food. And I don't know, we saw the spot and we thought it was beautiful. I mean, and we all clicked, you know, we had a great time together and we worked really hard together to make sure that not only the building itself was safe because it was closed for 3 years for renovations of the building. You know, structural damage, like a bunch of structural damage. So it took a lot of work.
It's old, right? How old is the building?
Yeah, the building is, I want to say 1865, but from my knowledge, it's been a bar since 1919 on. So
it's insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
So it became a bar at the beginning of Prohibition.
Yeah, it came to the bar beginning of Prohibition, and then it was a speakeasy during Prohibition. And we got the 50th liquor license once Prohibition was done.
And that's, you still have that double-digit liquor license.
Yeah.
I think mine is like 9 digits long.
Yeah.
That's
still amazing. We still have that double-digit.
That's amazing. So. And downstairs, there's a tunnel, right?
Yeah, downstairs is the tunnel that used to lead to William Barnacles across the street, which was kind of like a getaway if anyone get a sting. once all the renovations started happening throughout the course of history, it became a coal chute. So, and then now it's just, it's still there, but it would just go up to the street. So,
still awesome.
Yeah, very still cool. Awesome.
So talk about, like, what is Holiday Cocktail Lounge now? What's the ethos for the listeners? I mean, Damon and I have been there once, I think. Have you been there?
I don't remember.
Exactly.
Neither do I.
Exactly. I think I was actually there last night.
At the end of the
thing.
I know I was. at the end of the day, when we started working on everything for Holiday, and I can't speak for the rest of us, but I know for myself personally, when we had our first opening and we had all these people asking us, you know, what are you going for? What's your thought process of what this bar is going to be? What's the vibe like? You know, and after all of those questions, I looked at my brother and I looked at Barbara and I looked at Rob and I said, why can't we just be a bar? You know, like, why can't we just be something that we've all wanted and keep it vague that way? I mean, we do have an awesome cocktail program. We do have an amazing food program. And we love executing all that. And we love the nerdums behind it. Like, if anybody would walk behind that bar and look at the well and be like, wow, this is pretty efficient. You know, for the amount of space that we have, it's a very efficient bar. But I don't want to showcase that. You know, I just want it. It showcases itself when we're behind it and we're running, you know. And I just wanted, for me personally, I wanted it to be fun. I wanted it to be a place
mission
where all
accomplished.
I wanted, then this is another mission accomplished. I wanted it to be a place where all my friends can go, you know, and relax. And you two are a perfect example of that, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, I find myself there quite often.
Yeah,
just
for
four
sure.
blocks away from Amore Margo, a mere 10 blocks away from my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a place that we go. And that's kind of become the hallmark of Holiday Cocktail Lounge, right? It's where the industry goes.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think so, you know. I mean, countless times I've been behind the bar and had the whole room just filled with friends, you know. On a Sunday, that's not too bad.
Right.
You know, it's a good way to spend a Sunday.
I think that there's a lot of the vibes from... A lot of that vibe from Extra Fancy has definitely flowed over to, like, the Holiday Cocktail Lounge. Because, you know, at any given time at Extra Fancy, where we get to work together, you look around the room, doesn't matter what time of day it is, there's
going
to be
group.
People you know.
Yep.
You know, especially late night.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I'm envious of that, of frankly, both of your bars. Every time I've been to Grand Army, I've seen some faces I know as well.
Well,
it doesn't happen as much at Amore Margo.
Yeah, I wouldn't sell yourself that way. That's entirely not true. I think you're lying to me right now.
Yeah, I'm lying to us. This is documented, man.
I rarely look around the room and see a dozen. I look around and I see one, maybe two.
Well, you only have a dozen seats.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Eight, right?
Fine. Technically zero, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We don't talk about that, though.
Yeah. So talk about the phenomenon of Holiday Cocktail Lounge traveling all over the country, and you've been out of country now. Out of country,
yeah.
You're traveling the world.
We did London. We did Antigua.
Did you Puerto Rico as well?
Yeah. We did Puerto Rico.
So how is that? If you're telling us that you've opened a bar in sort of the most sort of basic terms of like a great place to go and gather and hang out and have a good drink, how has it gotten so popular that it has to jump all over the world and show itself off?
One of the things that Rob wanted out of this, and you know, he wanted a statement bar, and which Michael and I were fully on board with, and in doing so, like, Michael had come up with the idea, it's like, well, let's go out and like, let's show people what we do, because what we do, it isn't just behind that bar. We can do it behind any bar as long as we have the idea of what Holiday is behind it, you know. So, and it's really unique now, seeing, I don't even know how many times I've done it, to be honest, but going behind a bar and looking at it for you know, a half an hour before our shift and figuring out what cocktails we're going to do. And some of them were just bespoking. Some of those, we did one in Chicago at Celeste's. Thank you, Arthur Hiraki, for like helping me put all that together.
I love that guy.
You know, we were just like, we're just going to wing it, you know, and Brooklyn Gin was, love those guys to death. They brought us out and we all just threw a party together. And it's now more so just what the idea of Holiday is, as opposed to what just we are as a bar. Because what we are as a bar, you're only going to get it in one place. But what our idea is, we can showcase that around the United States or around the world if need be, you know, because and it's that's always, who we are as bartenders.
It's always really well received, right? You guys get crushed at these things.
Yeah, some, you know,
people show
up. Some of them are like, yeah, it's frightening, you know? But it's always just a great time. It's always a great time. And a great example was what we did at Tails. You know, we didn't want to do anything unsanctioned, but we wanted to, kind of show that we were around. So we did a post on Facebook just saying, hey, we're going to be at Alibi at 11:30 tonight. We're not going to be behind the bar. We're just going to take over the jukebox. And we want you guys to come.
That's amazing, man.
And there was like 200 people there.
Yeah. So you took over the jukebox, meaning you were playing a bunch of music and singing along.
Yeah, because it was the best $25 I've ever spent.
Right.
It really was.
Maybe again, the listener doesn't know, but Holiday Cocktail Lounge is famous for the sing along.
We're known for a sing along or two. You know. but it was my brother and I. And I mean, not just my brother and I. I mean, it was everybody. But you know, even Matt Eisenman was standing up on a bar stool. Just, you know, Chris Lauder. I mean, all of us just standing on a bar stool, screaming our hearts out to these songs that, you know, are memories of our childhood or memories of just a time that we got to let go, and we don't get to do that very much anymore. And
yeah,
I mean, I get to do it more so than probably anybody in this room. You know,
blasting 90s punk rock.
Just blasting 90s, like not even 90s punk rock. Like,
alt rock.
Yeah, whatever. Anything you want. And just enjoying that moment, because we don't get to do that very often anymore.
That's true, man.
You know?
Yeah, and it's it would be very hard to do that in a place that didn't feel so, I mean, I don't want to say it's divey, but it was a dive bar for a long time.
For a long
time.
But
you guys like cleaned it up, and it's nice. So like you can go and have like a proper cocktail, but you can also like crack some cans of beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Smash them on your forehead.
Yeah.
A beer.
Sing Blink-182 songs.
A beer and a shot? Is that what you're saying? Could we have a beer and a shot?
We can have a beer and a shot, actually.
What'd you bring for us?
I brought over Amaro Montenegro, which was one of my favorite Amaros. It's delicious, light. I mean, just a touch sweet, but not overwhelming. And I
very
do
familiar.
A 50-50 with that with Old Overholt. So, and I also got to give credit to Jimmy Palumbo for that, because, you know, we started that the fancy days.
Yeah. Cheers, guys.
Gentlemen, cheers.
Yeah.
So 50-50 of Old Overholt rye whiskey, my favorite rye whiskey, mm-hmm. and Amaro Montenegro, one of my favorite Amaro.
Which Old Overholt is actually how we really connected.
That's true, yeah.
Way back in the day.
That's right. I still have, I think, an ounce for you of that bottle that you never got
Thank
hold
God.
Of.
Thank God.
Now I've also got several other bottles. You're behind the times.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe a Holiday Cocktail Lounge whiskey flight tasting is in our future.
I think that's a good idea. Something. I mean, I started barbecuing at 27, so I think I've been behind the times ever since I started in this business.
Well, you're doing all right with catching up.
Actually, so I was at Southern, your seminar with Amaro Montenegro, mm-hmm. which is really cool.
Thank you.
In New Orleans, here at Tails, or there at Tails. And I was there with Jacob Cheddar. And
oh, yeah.
Speaking of Montenegro and barbacking, his little brother,
yeah.
Heath.
Mild Cheddar.
Yeah, Mild Cheddar. Sharp Cheddar, Mild Cheddar. He's actually a barback at Holiday, which I think is awesome.
There's mild and sharp. I mean, it depends on when you catch him.
Are you instilling in him some of the stuff you've learned over the years?
Yeah. I mean,
are you teaching him a lot of music that he probably never seen before?
He is going to be turning 21 on August 28th, which is my father's birthday. My father is 45 years older than Mild Cheddar.
Mild Cheddar.
Heath is his actual name.
Yeah.
You know, he's awesome kid, willing to learn, but had never been in the industry whatsoever. And when I was looking for a bar back, Jacob messaged me and told me, he's like, my brother's here. You know, I'm going to put my name on him. I really think he's going to be doing a good job. And he has, especially within the past few months, he's really stepped up to try and figure out how the back works, like how we function, because we don't function, especially with the careers, like the career bars that I've been working at, don't function without that half. You know, it's really difficult.
Of course.
And we all know that, and we should give credit where credit is due, because without them, we're nothing.
Right.
You know? And he's really been pushing to work on that and figure out how all that works.
He's got some great mentorship over there. You got Christian, who's like indomitable barback.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Christian was, man, back in the day when he was my food runner and I was a barback at Ward 3. And back in those days was, I mean, four deep of people like, I want a cocktail that's going to remind me of the Christmas that I had with my grandmother in 1988, the year before she died, or the year after she died. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know you. I don't know your grandmother.
Here's some eggnog.
That's a little esoteric.
Yeah. You know, but that's how it was back then. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you're looking at.
Hey, we wouldn't be where we are if we didn't go through.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Sure. You know, I mean, and don't get me wrong, more than happy to do that. If you guys ever need that at holiday, it's fine.
So that's interesting to talk about how Mild Cheddar is so young coming into the game. And you just mentioned that you were 27 when you started barbacking.
27.
How old are you now?
33.
All right. So pretty short amount of time in the game to be where you're at, which is fucking great. And now you're touring around with your bar, doing these pop-ups and sing-alongs and takeovers. And you're also going to be teaching, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be teaching a shaking class at Barmouth with you, if I remember right, as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to teach.
You know, you're going to be stirring up a little.
I'm going to teach stirring. Yes. Yeah. There's two halves to my class. It's going to be clockwise and then counterclockwise.
Okay. That's great. I'm all about that.
I'm teaching stirring.
You got to do remember the main cocktail so you can go counterclockwise?
Indeed. That's right.
I'm just gonna. But how do you
feel? How do you feel about that?
Clocks.
Like, do you feel like you're not like meteoric rise? I guess like there are guys that have gone faster, Chris Lauder.
love you.
Yeah, yeah. But like that's a pretty fast rise in a market that's very competitive.
You know, I don't know. I don't think so. Okay. In my eyes, you know, I just wanted to have fun behind a bar with a lot of people and be around my friends and learn efficiency. You know, Vince Favela and Wes Boucher, I mean, and Cliff Travers and Abel Rodriguez. And I mean, you know, and my brother, Michael Neff, and, you know, they taught me a lot of different things, you know, and they're all super weathered in the industry, you know, been around it a long time. So I had a lot of great mentors, in the beginning of my career that taught me to not just have my own thing, but whenever I went into a new one, I mean, you know, I don't know shit whenever I get a new job, you know, that's
right.
It.
Beginner mind.
Yeah. Beginner mind always, because at the end of it, when you start doing your own things and you start, you know, my first consulting gig that I ever got was the bar room, on 60th between Park and Lex. And I was able to actually show kids that were shaking Manhattans and old fashions, and they were sharing one Boston shaker on a 35 foot long bar, you know, it was just like, okay, let's all calm down for a second.
Yeah.
And like, let's
everybody stop what you're doing.
Let's look at what's going on here. You know, if you're making, you know, four daiquiris, you don't need to fill up your Boston tin twice. Why don't you just find another set of tools?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I never thought of that. Yeah. It's just like, okay, there's a start.
Oh, yeah, man, that's
the right
wild.
Equipment to do the job is very, very important.
Yeah, but I mean, I can never have enough thanks for the mentors who actually brought me on beforehand, and they're always learning. You know,
yeah,
always learning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember when I started in Oklahoma City, and I only had like one real mentor, basically, and it was. Like the rest of it was like reading books and mm-hmm. like just, and there wasn't a lot of information in those books, as we know, you know, like when you're reading like a 100-year-old cocktail book, it doesn't tell you a lot of times what glassware or garnish or like what you're supposed to do with the booze in this guy. Like, you know, someone's like pony measurement might be different from the others, you know, like a wine glass of rye whiskey or like, what the fuck does that mean? You know?
Right.
It's like, so like
the modern day wine glass, 8 ounces of rye whiskey. In my Manhattan.
Yeah. Doesn't even fit in the glass.
But one of my favorite memories was, the first day that I worked with Vince at Ward 3 on a Monday.
And Vince Favela. Love that
actually
guy.
Opening up Alamo Drafthouse.
Amazing.
You know?
Cannot wait.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait.
Get him on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Holy shit. He's a genius. It's frightening. But, you know, so I'd been there 2 months. And so, like, I'm trying to show him around and show him everything and, like, show him all the new stuff that I learned because I'm, you know, I'm just like, I just got here. I'm really excited about this. And he, like, just stopped me for a second. He was just, you know, because it was, I don't remember what it was. I think it was something embarrassing, like pouring out of a speed pour. Like, I really think it was that. And he was just like, hold on. You know, this is why this happens. This is how this occurs. And I was like, okay. And so we got to talking, and I started talking about another probably embarrassing thing of, like, I wanted to make, like, a banana cream pie cocktail, you know? And he was just like...
Yum.
Yeah. And so he was like, well, what are your thoughts on it? And so I started talking about it a little bit, and he was just like, wait a second. Why are you thinking about all these outside ingredients when everything you have is right behind you? You know? And so when we got to talking about that, we closed that bar, and we stayed there for... I don't know how long, like a very, very long time. And he was like, you want banana? And he just pulls out, like, grabs the Yamazaki real quick and pours us a little bit of the taste. And he was like, taste the banana on that. You know, and that's when my eyes really opened. I was just like, whoa.
Right, all these
things. I have no idea what's going on here.
Yeah. Yeah, all these things already exist. You don't,
yeah.
You don't have to go and...
A shot glass of 99 bananas with whipped cream on top. And then, like, maybe brulee.
Oh, whipped cream vodka on top.
Pinnacle.
What don't they do? What can't they do?
Anything good. Hey, and the show is sponsored today by Pinnacle Vodkas. Yeah. Well, this is the approach that's that we take at Amore Margo as well. You know, we don't have anything house made. 100%, everything comes out of a bottle, yeah. And yet we still reproduce flavors that seemingly we don't have.
Yeah, very familiar
all the time. Yeah. Yeah. But this is delicious, by the way. I'm sipping on this. Are you joining us, Damon? I know you decided to take a little.
Yeah, I have some
semi totaling break after.
Hey, man, it's all restorative, you know.
Like, of course,
you've got the Montenegro, which is, you know, an Amaro, which, you know, it's a medicinal liqueur.
Absolutely.
And also, I do believe that I've seen a bunch of old rye bottles that you know, during Prohibition, that say that. It's for medicinal use only.
That's right. Yes.
Damn right.
Old Overholt specifically was.
So I'm just taking medicine.
I'm just taking a nip.
Just a little.
Taking a nip of my medicine, you know?
That's it.
Just a little medicine to fix us after New Orleans.
Also, it's kind of like the ultimate DJ Steve after like a week of having po' boys and beans and rice. And man, okay, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about New Orleans, man. What was your favorite meal in New Orleans this week?
So, I give you a couple of things that I do.
Best drink and best meal.
Yeah, I'm going to give you my best drink is the same drink every year. I mentioned to you that I lived there before. I mentioned to you that I've been down for 8 out of 9 tales. Upon arrival, I go directly to Arnaud's French 75. If I'm a lucky man, Chris Hanna is behind the bar.
Damn right.
I order the namesake cocktail, the French 75, and the pomme souffle. Which, for those of you who don't know, it's not a souffle. Pomme souffle are potatoes that are cut in such a way that when they fry them, they puff up. And they serve them with warm béarnaise sauce for dipping. It sets me right for the city of New Orleans.
That sounds horrible.
It is the first thing I do when I arrive every single time I go. If you follow my Twitter feed at Creative Drunk, you'll see the photo of Chris Hanna, the French 75, and the pomme souffle.
We went to Camp Brownwick together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's amazing, dude. That guy's...
2014.
Yeah, that guy is awesome. So that was my favorite drink. It always is. It just sort of sets my clock for being there. Then I had the great pleasure of going to Cochon not once but twice while I was there, which is lucky. Those roasted oysters are like tops in my book. But the second time I went was the best because I was at a table of 8. And we sat down and we decided after looking at the menu for a few minutes and having a round of actually Montenegro to start the table, we just decided to order the entire menu. Like, there were 8 of us. The menu priced out to something like 500 and change. I know that's pretty opulent, but we live a life of luxury. We're on vacation, so we decided just to order the whole menu. The guy comes over and says, we said, we'll take the whole menu. He goes, well, there's a couple things that are, you know, just a few pieces, so you want to get 2 orders of this and 2 orders of that. But then they just flooded the table with every item on the menu. Amazing. Amazing.
That's great. What about you, Danny?
You know what? I had a beautiful dinner at Canaan Table with the Maison Ferrand crew. Coops, obviously.
Man, that place. I wanted to touch on that for 1 second. When I lived in New Orleans, my roommate worked there. And it was just a joint, man. That's just where we went and hung out. And, like, you know, the kitchen's separated by a little courtyard. And sometimes your food comes out with raindrops on the side of the plate because they have to quickly zip through the courtyard to bring your plate out, which actually happened to me while I was there for lunch this time around. But it was just a joint. And now I tried to go to Coop's. I tried to take my buddy to Coop, Max. I took, he was down there for first New Orleans,
well,
first
you
Tales.
Can blame Tales for that.
And I was like, what the fuck? There's like a 40-minute wait, a line of 25 people standing outside of Coop's. Like, when I lived there, it was just a joint. Mm-hmm. And now it's, and still amazing. The food was amazing then. The food's amazing now. It's worth the wait. I'm just complaining a little.
But if I
I can't complain too much. I want them to be successful.
Yeah. If I have to admit, it would be the pole boys at Parasols.
Oh my God, Parasol, amazing.
Yeah, I have to thank Brittany Leach for that. I mean, we were out just before I had to go work an event, and she's like, no, we're going to go. It was before bartender breakfast. She's like, we got to go to this stuff. I mean, it's like the food is just incredible. And so we went there, and they have they call it an Irish Sunday.
What's an Irish Sunday?
An Irish Sunday, it was a potato salad like smothered in gravy.
And
it was just
yes!
Like, oh my God. Life has changed so much.
That's awesome.
In this,
did, like, it have sprinkles? Just,
no.
Like bacon? Bacon sprinkles?
Yeah. You know,
corned beef.
And they had a jukebox that I just kept taking over, but like it was like more like, all right, well, I mean, I want to hear Tom Waits right now. So the guy who just put on Offspring, I'm just going to put this first. And I'm just going to play a couple more just to fuck with him. Just so he can be irritated.
Oh, man.
Awesome. I mean, the memories of the few dinners that I had with a lot of my friends and my girlfriend and you know, those were like the specific points of Tales that I was just like, I can't really get out of this industry ever.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Go down for networking connections and things like that. What? How about you, Damon? Do you have a great meal, a great cocktail?
Man, I sure did. Yeah, I work with Brooklyn Gin.
Oh yeah, that gin dinner was incredible,
dude. I got to go to all 3 of the dinners at the Brooklyn Gin House, and we had this incredible chef from LA, Jason Lillelove.
Chef Jason was awesome.
He was incredible, man. First of all, he's a super super nice dude. Which
loves Prince.
Loves Prince.
He was princing it out.
He was princing
it
out in
that
kitchen the entire time.
Yeah.
Amazing. But he made this incredible spread. He made way too much food, which is never a bad idea.
Not in that town.
But not in that town, for sure. And that was great. Drinks. Actually, 2 other dining experiences were both shared with the guys from Bull in China.
Also great guys.
Great, great dudes.
Great dudes.
Daniel and Luke. And Lucas.
Yeah.
I got to hang out with them a lot. It was awesome. We went to Willie's and we ordered just like, there was about 6 of us actually, just ordered like 3 giant, like I think they were like 28 piece chicken boxes.
Oh, from Willie Mays.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
And so we got 1 giant like suicide like bong. We got one of those and we looked at it for a while and we're like, nah, I'm not going to drink that. But we had a ton of beers and just a bunch of fried chicken, no sides. It's just primal as fuck. And then Saturday, we went to me and my business partner, one of my business partners, Daniel Krieger, the photographer. He introduced me to Isaac and Amanda Toops, who own Toops Meadery.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. And I wanted to go there this time. I didn't get a chance.
Oh, man. We went there on Saturday night and just, we ordered what we didn't order. We ordered a bunch of stuff off the menu. And what we didn't order, Isaac sent us. And a big thanks to Isaac Toops for, and it was great to see Chef on the line. But we just drank a bunch of rosé and ate all the meat. And then I guess my other favorite drink was the frozen Pimm's cup from St. Charles.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, anytime you can get your hands on a frozen drink in New Orleans.
That's true.
Especially in July.
You know, there's all the Aaron Rose like,
the Aaron Rose cocktail. Yeah. I mean, the Aaron Rose coffee, frozen coffee. That's, I don't do coffee, though.
Frozen Irish coffee.
I can't do it.
I don't either, but I don't think there's actually coffee in that drink, so.
But I swing over there because that's where everybody's at.
Yeah.
And I love the High Life ponies that they have that are frosty fucking cold.
Oh, yeah.
So you get a little pony of High Life that's just icy.
Yeah. You know what's awesome?
And you just get another one, and I think I can't even remember. I think they're $1.75.
You can go.
They're
can
not
go
even to, $2.
You can go to Barrel Proof in New Orleans, Thomas Thompson's place.
Thomas, yeah,
and you can get a hip of Old Granddad and a 6-pack of ponies for $20. And like that was like the last stop I had before bartender breakfast. with like me and Trevor Fry and Brittany Leach and just like a group of us, just the whole group of us. And we were just like, okay, I gotta go to work.
Yeah.
It was a great thing I was working with a blender. Yeah. That's all I have. Do you want to pass over that little Monty and Aldo over there?
Yeah, sure, buddy.
Well, you know what's great about this? Talking about the, every year when we get back from Tales, I do a show post-Tales called Tales from Tales of the Cocktail.
Oh.
And I'm glad that we're touching on that. But I'm also very glad that, you know, a lot's changed since last year. Souther being a big part of the change for the radio. I'm talking about the radio show here. Having Souther on as my co-host and co-pilot, it's been great.
Dude, this is my favorite part of the week every week.
Yeah, man. Me too, man. It was awesome getting to hang out with you down there.
Yeah.
Represent Heritage Radio, represent ourselves, but then also getting to see Danny and having you in the studio.
No, I'm
after Tales is kind of having anyone in the studio. Having myself,
making it here, making it here is a big. That's a hurdle.
Yeah, but you know, I'd love Holiday Cocktail Lounge. I love it probably more than I should, or because I end up going there a lot when I'm in the city. When I break away from Brooklyn, and it's like it's always a stop that I make, and sometimes several times in a night.
It's centrally located.
It's perfect. It's
all the things we do anyway.
The only downside I have about Holiday right now is on my days off, I don't want to be there because I love my bar. Like I love the bar that I work at. I love everything about it and I want to be there all the time. But when I'm in Brooklyn and I don't have to go to the city, I'm just like, I know everyone's going to be there and we're going to have a lot of fun, but That L train, or like the JMZ transfer to the F. I'm just like, not today.
You know, I mean, I don't think that's an unfair thing to say at all. I adore Amore Margo. It is a huge part of my beating heart.
Mm-hmm.
But I try and not be there if I don't have to be there.
Yeah,
it's 6 blocks from my house. So I have the opposite.
That's gotta be.
I have the
opposite. That's gotta be. You know, it's so much worse for you.
You say to yourself, I don't want to get on the train. I can be there in four minutes.
Yeah.
And I try to not go there on my days off. I think that keeps me fresher. It keeps my eyes better when I am there.
I mean, it's always a thing. In the beginning, when you're starting out, you have to be there.
Of course.
All the time.
Man, every
day. I think what you're saying here, Danny, is like, it's great that you're at a point where you don't have to be there on your days off.
And, you know, I mean, we hired an amazing team, like, even from the get-go. Like, the first team that we ever had was on point and solid, and the team that we have now is just as much so. I think one of the things is that's kind of a thing that we all really understand is that when we're at our respective places or we're doing these certain things, like we're going to Tales and we're going to Camp Run Amok and we're going to do pop-ups around the United States, and you're doing the same thing with Amore Margo as well. You know, now we're at a point where we're always on. You know, there's hardly a bar that we can go to that is either owned or run by our friends or things of that nature. That when we're in that bar, we are not representing the bar we work for. Hmm. You know, and they're. You know, I think that's kind of the journey that I'm doing now, which is like I'm looking for a bar where I don't have to do that. But I don't think that'll ever happen.
Well,
actually, I love that. Actually,
listen, every Sunday, if I'm in town, I find myself at Bar Goto.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love that bar.
It's a gorgeous bar, and they execute it incredibly.
In kind of the way that I was just talking about Arno's French 75, it's a place where I go to just. that resets me. Saturday is the last night of my work week. Sunday I'm off. I get up. I putter around my house, whatever. I go to Bar Goto right when they open at 5 o'clock. I sit in front of Matt Ressler.
Mm-hmm.
I have typically a beer and a shot.
Yeah, I know it.
Then I order. I'm so easy to read. Then I order, you know, the celery. Get the fucking celery.
Obviously.
Yeah. And
the wings.
The wings or okonomiyaki or whatever, something to snack on. Mm-hmm. And I order the plum sazerac. And then I'm just, again, right with the world. So you just got to find that. And then, of course, the remainder of the evening, I try and go to other bars other than my own bar so that I can show my face and say hello and, you know, yeah, stay in touch, stay in tune. Like, you know, we can't be insular. Can't just stay at your own bar
exactly
all the time.
You know, and
I don't blame you in any way. You say it's a downside. I think it's the better part of you is to say, on my day off, I'm going to go elsewhere.
Right. And yeah. I think one thing for me, too, like, and mine's a very similar style where, like, Mondays are mine and Haley's day. Like, we try very hard, and it doesn't always work this way, and we have to adjust it to a certain extent, depending on travel and work and things like that. Like, if there's a job that's going to, you know, pay me $1,000 to do something, and it's like, sorry.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. $1,000.
Yeah, exactly. You got to think about it. But that's the reset day, and whether she has to do her writing work or things like that, we just can hang out, make dinner, play with the dog, play a video game for fuck's sake.
Right.
You know, like, just veg out and just reset that way. And then start the week fresh of like, okay, now I'm going to be running.
I think it's powerfully important for us, you know, and it's weirdly the opposite, I think, of the, you know, your regular Joe 9-to-5er,
mm-hmm,
who his reset is to go out and hit our bars.
Turn it up.
Go out and hit our bars on the weekend.
Exactly.
Right, so that's great that they're out there, but I think our reset is to kind of like go a little more low-key.
Relax. Yeah, exactly. To, like, so hard. Such a hard relaxation.
Yeah, actually, I'm curious. Relax. What's your reset?
Dude, I do laundry.
Yeah? It's really relaxing, actually.
I have a washer dryer in my house. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's therapeutic.
Oh, it's so good. And I'm like, it keeps me in the house. I play my guitar.
Yep.
Hopefully, if I get time, I go on a motorcycle ride.
I knew you were going to say that.
But yeah, I mean, like, also, there's escapism in getting on a motorcycle.
Yeah, entirely. I totally agree with you on that.
But yeah, man, like, you just have to find any of those things that you can do just to, like, reset your batteries, like you said. You know, the recharge, the reset. It's like, and it's hard for us because we love what we do, and we make sure that we work really hard at it. And New York City's not a vacation town.
Nope.
You know? So, mm-hmm, like, the hustle is real, man. And,
yeah.
And if we didn't work so hard all the time, then we wouldn't be where we are.
Yeah, and I think subconsciously, like, when we get to that point now, as far as we've been pushing and pushing and pushing for as long as, I mean, me being in New York only, not even 6 years, I'll be 6 years December 8th, you know, you get to that idea of pushing is the way that you live, and you just keep going. Like, and you keep going, yeah, when you go on vacation, you keep, like you say you're going on vacation, but it's not a vacation.
Right.
Because you're no, I'm going to go to Chicago. I'm going to go visit like 36 different bars because I got 75 friends out there.
And breweries.
Exactly.
I got 75 friends and I'm there for 20 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cram this in as hard as I can.
Right. I was in Austin for a bar institute and I was there for 28 hours. And I slept 4.
Yeah.
You know? So when
the drinking is not my problem at things like Tales of the Cocktail. It's the sleep.
It's the sleep. You know, it's like when I landed, I mean, Travis Tober from Aviation Gin picked me up, like, and we went and met Trevor Fry and, like, hung out, had a couple beers, and just, like, you know, talked about anything, you know, what Aviation was doing out there, or, you know, Trevor's new bar in D.C. coming up, his two bars in D.C. coming up. And then going and getting ready for the gig, you know, and then getting ready for the gig, doing the gig, being tired and, you know, possibly imbibing too much, and then staying up. Drink responsibly. and then
on the legal team.
And then staying and having an actual dinner after the bar was closed with the team that we just met that day and that we just went through the trenches with. And it was just like, this was incredible. I can't believe we all got to do this together. I hope to see you soon. I have to be up in 4 hours to catch my flight.
Yeah, you know? It's all time management, man. Time management. Actually, we're out of time.
Speaking of time management.
We've actually gone over, which is awesome because, you know, the show is, it's is especially tales, when you've got your buddies
this
in.
This is Tales Post Tales.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. It's easy to keep going. And the great thing about that is that means that anytime you want to come back on the show, there's always going to be more to talk about. But speaking of having dinner after shift.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Let's get some pizza. Since we're out here at Roberta's, let's get some pizza. Yeah, and then
yeah,
actually.
You guys are going to go over to Grand Army.
We got to make some drinks. Shit to Grand Army. Yeah. I do have another shirt to wear, by the way.
You look great.
I really appreciate that. I would like to think that other people think that way. But sweat is my natural habitat in the summertime of NYC. So
you look great.
Cool, man.
So you're going to do a happy hour shift over at Grand Army starting at 5?
5 to 7. Make some classics, you know? Yeah. It's a Holly Cocktail Lounge, man. That place is classic as fuck.
Thanks, dude.
And that's the way I feel about you, too. Aww, classic as fuck.
You stay classy, Damon Bolte.
Likewise, Danny. Well, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Really happy to have our buddy Danny Neff in the studio. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And we will see you next week. And until then, cheers.
Cheers, everybody.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sound. It's gonna get you some.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, the executive producer of Heritage Radio Network, also the host of Full Service Radio, and I want to talk to you about brandy. I was lucky enough to visit Louisville, and we all know Kentucky is whiskey territory. However, the best thing I had to drink was brandy. I got to visit Copper and King's distillery, and they make pure copper pot distilled American brandy aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels, matured with rock and roll. That's right. Sonic aging. They're playing music to the barrels. The stuff is double distilled, non-chill filtered, unadulterated by bois, sugar, or caramel color. And this stuff is feisty, rambunctious, with a long, smooth finish. This stuff isn't made exactly in the style of an international brandy or a cognac. It's more along the lines of an American whiskey. I can really be honest here and tell you, I'm not just reading you an ad, I'm giving you a tip. American brandy, you're not seeing it everywhere. Copper and Kings is doing it incredibly well, and they're cool people. The distillery is full of incredible art. Like I said, they're playing rock and roll to the barrels. So again, Copper and Kings, pure copper, pot distilled American brandy, aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels. That's copperandkings.com. Drink it neat, put it in a cocktail, sub it for your brown spirits, experiment, have fun, get funky. This stuff is awesome.